That image is from the inside of our East Aurora campus, and it appeared on all of our invitations and on our screens during this whole season of Advent. And so appreciate our comms team that does such a nice job bringing everything together for us. Well, there is an extraordinary event that we have all experienced. This is like a guessing game, right? You take it for granted, and I guarantee you don't remember a second of it. The one thing that we all have in common is we were all born. Were we not? We were. The United Nations estimates that there are 4 births worldwide every second. More than 10,000 babies are born every day in the U.S., and worldwide, 385,000 babies are born every day. That's a lot of babies. It is. And because there are so many babies born every day, we tend to think of the birth of a baby as kind of ordinary, right? Again, it happens all the time. Everyone is born, and so it is very common, and we can lose sight of the miracle that every birth is truly amazing. Birth is a miraculous event filled with awe and wonder. Think about it. Every person made in the image of God, in the likeness of God. It's amazing. Each of us is a reminder of the beauty and complexity of human existence. I'll still remember our first child was born, a son, and we put him in the car seat. And we'd never had anybody in the car seat. And I'm looking in the rearview mirror like there's a baby in the car seat. It's our baby. This is a member of our family. Like, this changes everything going forward. And I'm like, don't look at him. Look at the road. Look at the road. But I'll still remember that sense of wonder, of awe. Birth is extraordinary. But what about Jesus' birth? Now, some of you have heard the story of Jesus' birth more than a few times, right? More than a few times. For some of you, maybe not so many times, and as you hear the story, you're thinking, do I really believe this? Do I believe it? So here's my challenge for all of you, no matter where you find yourself on that spectrum, try to listen with fresh ears and see if you can identify the point at which Jesus' birth is no longer ordinary, it's extraordinary. So we're going to be looking in Luke's gospel together. My wife Ellen read it for us from the Living Bible. I'm going to be reading parts of it again from the New International Version. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. And she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Well, it's kind of a unique story, isn't it? But there are a lot of unique stories. What's unique about Jesus' story? Most of the Jewish babies were born at home, right? And in most of the cases, the mom was there, soon-to-be grandmother attending, probably a village midwife, but they were surrounded by people and a situation that was familiar. So there's something unusual in this story, isn't it? It is unusual because they're not at home, right? And mom isn't there, and maybe not a midwife. And so this is a story of a family that's kind of displaced, right? They're away from home. This is not the plan. But again, there are a lot of unusual birth stories. Maybe after the service, you or somebody in your family has an unusual birth story. One of my coworkers, his daughter, second child, never made it to the hospital, right? So there are quite a few stories that are out of the ordinary. Now let me read this next section, starting in verse 8, and see if you can tell where the story gets a little bit extra ordinary. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Okay, maybe we've gotten to the point in the story that it starts to get extraordinary. Now, there was nothing extraordinary about shepherds, right? There were in that area that shepherds were part of the agricultural world that was not uncommon. And, you know, it's not like the sheep take care of themselves. They're very needy animals. And so the shepherds had to stay with the flock through all kinds of weather, all times of day to protect them from two-legged and four-legged predators, right? So that's not the unusual thing. But what is not normal at all is that the angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord, which I think is just a brilliant light back in the day when there really were no brilliant lights, that the heavens were filled with the glory of God. And this is the first sign that there's something very special going on here. I don't know about you, but when my kids were born, we did not see any angels. There was no angel of the Lord. And the angels of the Lord did not appear to the people in the next room or down the hall or across the town. Then we can see that the birth of Jesus was extraordinary. But let's explore some of the meaning behind it. Why is it extraordinary? Let's continue in verse 10. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, this town, Bethlehem, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." So let's unpack this for a little bit. The angel shares good news that will be bring great joy for all the people. All the people going forward. This is a ground-shaking, life-altering, history-changing event. A one-in-a-kind event. It changed everything. In verse 12, the angel describes a sign. This will be a sign. This is how you'll know that you found the right child. You'll find the baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger, which is a food bin, right? Could have been wood, could have been made out of stone, probably well used, and at least it was up off the ground. Here's where you'll find the baby, in a food bin. This detail highlights the humble circumstances of Jesus' birth. Would anybody in sending Israel's king to earth put the little guy in a food bin? In those humble circumstances, would anybody have expected that? It signifies that the Savior comes not in luxury, but in simplicity, making the message accessible even to lowly shepherds. This is a pivotal moment in human history, bringing hope and joy, not only to all who hear it, but to all who receive it. This will be a sign to you. The angel says that this baby they find is the Messiah. Now, that may not mean a lot to us, but if you grew up in a Hebrew tradition in this family of Abraham and you heard the word Messiah, all kinds of things would come to mind. There were all kinds of prophecies or scriptures told years and years before this that the Messiah, the anointed one, the chosen, the king who would rule in the line of David was coming, and he would be the answer to all of our problems. If you were living in that day, you would say, finally, someone will throw off this Roman oppression. That's what they were expecting. But God had something much deeper, much more far-reaching and long-lasting in mind by sending the king in the line of David. The angel said, a Savior has been born to you. And I think here is the heart of why this is such good news, then and now. Jesus is the Savior the world has been waiting for. So what exactly is a Savior? Why do the shepherds need one, and why do we need one? A Savior is a person who saves someone or something from danger, ruin, or defeat. A Savior is a rescuer, a deliverer, a defender, a guardian. So why do we need a rescuer? What are we saved from? And again, at the time, many thought they needed to be rescued from the Romans. But there's something deeper involved. We find it over in Matthew chapter 1 when the angel appears to Joseph in a dream. The angel said to him, Mary will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Yeshua, or God saves, because he will save his people from their sins. There it is. That's what we need to be rescued from. We need someone who can rescue us from the power and punishment of our own sin. And only Jesus can rescue us from our brokenness. Take a look in your own heart and mind, and I think you'll admit that you are not fully the person God made you to be. There are things that God wanted us to do that we didn't do. There are other things that we should not have done that we did. We missed the mark. I missed the mark. And left to ourselves, we have no solution for our sin problem. A lifetime of good deeds cannot erase our sins. What can Jesus rescue us from? A life lived at the mercy of our own sin and the punishment that that sin deserves. So Jesus, through his sacrificial birth, and I meant to say that, through his sacrificial birth, his perfect life, his sacrificial death, and his glorious resurrection, can rescue us from the power of sin and death. And that is good news. No wonder the angels rejoiced. All of creation was under the curse of sin since way back in the garden with Adam and Eve. All creation has been groaning for deliverance. And finally, God has set into motion this plan to set us free. The birth of Jesus was beyond extraordinary. The shepherds were being told that this one, this little baby, will grow up to be the one who will make things right, who will set the oppressed free. The deliverer, the rescuer is here. The birth of Jesus was beyond extraordinary because it meant good news of great joy for all people, everyone, lowly shepherds, a young couple having their first child in a stable, and you and me. He is for us, and we still need him today. There is still nothing that we can do to free ourselves from sin's grasp. It is still good news for us. I was thinking of a passage from John's gospel during the life of Jesus, right near the end. Jesus was talking with a friend named Martha, whose brother Lazarus had recently died just a few days before. And Martha said to Jesus, Master, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Even now, I know that whatever you ask God, he will give you. And Jesus said, your brother will be raised up. And Martha replied, I know that he will be raised up in the resurrection at the end of time. And Jesus said, you don't have to wait for the end. I am right now resurrection and life. I am right now resurrection and life. You know the story. A few moments later, they walked to where her brother had been in the tomb, dead for 4 days. And Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And he did. It was a prelude to what happened 2 weeks later when Jesus was buried in a tomb after being crucified. And after 3 days, they came and the stone was rolled away, and then Jesus appeared to them. He took his life up again. And that proves what he claimed to be, the Messiah of God, the rescuer. He is right now resurrection and life. That's God's Christmas present to each one of us, right? That if we follow Jesus, if we put our faith in him, our sins can be forgiven. If we follow Jesus, if we make him the Lord of our lives, we no longer have to live with a burden of guilt and shame. Our lives will find new purpose, and we will have the hope, which gets more valuable to me every year, that when we breathe our last breath on earth, the next breath we breathe will be in the presence of God. He is right now the resurrection and the life. So do you believe this? Do you believe it? That he came to earth for you. Not just you, for everybody, but he came to earth for you. That he lived a sinless life for you. That he died a painful death so that you can be forgiven. That he rose again, breaking the power of sin and death. And he is at this moment resurrection and life. I pray that you would embrace this Jesus. Ask him to be the Lord and leader of your life. And get ready for a whole new chapter in your life. So we have a tradition here at Bayview Chapel. Every time we hear this good news of Jesus Christ proclaimed, every time we hear this message from God's word, we always take a moment to say, before we go off and eat and visit with our family and maybe unwrap presents, before we go on with the rest of our Christmas celebration, how am I going to respond to the good news that Jesus Christ is? So I invite you to think about that. Maybe take a step toward Jesus. Wouldn't that be a great thing to do on this Christmas Eve? So, and then I'm going to pray for us. Our Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son. We celebrate his birth, his life for us. We thank you for the light that he brings into our lives and into our world. We worship you, our great God. We pray in the strong name of Jesus, the Messiah, our Savior. Amen.